This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Hi, good morning, everyone. A little bit of a special edition of Warriors this week, a solo edition of Warriors this week. But don't worry, just like Golden State, we're going to keep on winning. Evan Giddings got you for the next 3 hours here on 95.7 The Game. Steven Rizzotto, my guy behind the glass, is going to be helping you out. We're going to be doing a little bit of a different show today. Again, one voice, and we're going to be breaking down the Warriors over this past week, and really, I would say over the past couple of weeks, because they have been as fun as any team in the association to watch. They've been playing great basketball, having won their past 11 games with Jimmy Butler. This is a Warriors team that's beaten, gosh, over the last 11 teams by an average of 15.5 points per game. They play the New York Knicks, a 42-win squad without one of their best players in Jalen Brunson later on today at 5:30 from Chase Center. And we got a Curry interview coming up that we're going to replay. We got Sam Gordon of the San Francisco Chronicle, covers the Warriors and is on the beat, has been for the last year and a half, coming up at 11 a.m. And we're going to get into a few things. I got some thoughts about the Warriors in regards to Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry, that sort of dynamic. I want to also talk a little bit about Curry's 4,000 threes. I want to compare the 2022 to the 2025 team. Obviously, the prior one won a championship. This one is trying to win a championship. And as right now, they stand in sixth place in the Western Conference as they enter tonight. 10 games above 500, the high water mark of the 24-25 season. They're three games back of the Houston Rockets. And now after last night's loss to the Nuggets, the Los Angeles Lakers. They're also a half game up on the Minnesota Timberwolves. And 1.5 games up on the 8th seed. Pretty much have set the floor at the 9. At the 8th seed, I should say, with Sacramento staring up at pretty much everyone and their season being somewhat in the doldrums. But where I want to start today is this. I've really been trying to just, I don't know if it's whittled down or define just how I feel about the Jimmy Butler trade. And I decided to do a little bit of research. So, Pasta, if you'll indulge me, I'd like to ask, where does this trade rank among midseason deals? Right. If you want to look at it from a Bay Area perspective, the one that's always kind of caught my eye as of late would be the Christian McCaffrey trade for the San Francisco 49ers. I think that one was obviously immediately impactful. It was one that, looking back on it, was a fantastic deal. They basically gave up a second round pick because of comps and all the rest you want to throw in there. They did not lose a game up until the NFC Championship. But the one wrinkle in that is that also in the middle of Christian McCaffrey's impact on the Niners, they found Brock Purdy. A couple of weeks later, after McCaffrey comes in, Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt, Brock steps in and helps elevate that team to a different level. And so the combination of them, to me, the trade deadline, but also the emergence of Purdy, is really what propelled that season into, I mean, what I think a lot of people were hoping could be a Super Bowl season up until Brock got hurt in Philadelphia. That's why this trade to me seems, it's almost crazy to think about because, and if anybody before my time, I was born in 1994, for the last 30 years I've been watching sports, and that's what I have to compare it to. The most impactful trades of my lifetime, mid-season, not over the summer, not early in the, but mid-season. You know, when I'm thinking about Jimmy Butler and where this Warriors team was, they've won 13 of 15. That's one better than the 12 and 3 mark that they had at the beginning of the season. You know, this was a group that was right around 500. That was, I think, destined for the 10th seed. And destined for a season that was not really going anywhere. I think if Jimmy Butler is not on the Warriors at this point, they stand pat, we could very may well be talking about shutting down Steph. Or what are they going to do with Curry in the remainder of his career? But now he's happy. He's flying high. He just broke 4,000 threes for his career. He's shooting the heck out of the basketball. Although he only had 11 points in the win against Sacramento the other night. He's playing very well. Looks like he's not just 37 years old because he just turned that yesterday, and happy birthday to him. But he's playing awesome. And Jimmy's a big reason why everyone in this team is playing fantastic. So in terms of the greatest midseason trades of all time, you know, for the Bay Area, I think Christian McCaffrey is one that automatically comes to mind as of late. But on the NBA court, in my lifetime, there's really only a couple that I can even think of that brought the immediate returns to a team. And 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors this week from 9 to noon every single Saturday. Dan DeBone's going to be back with us next week. But there's really only a couple that I can think of. And so I started doing some homework. I started thinking about, all right, what kind of trade has gotten a team up off the canvas and propelled them to a long, healthy postseason run? You know, I don't know much about the Mark Aguirre, Adrian Dantley trade for the Detroit Pistons in 1989. That obviously got them to a championship when they won back-to-back, the Bad Boys did. In 95, Clyde Drexler to the Houston Rockets helped propel them to a championship. But that also had a little bit of a wrinkle because Drexler was obviously a player that helped them get over the hump in the postseason. But they kind of finished that season out 500. And a big reason was Hakeem Olajuwon was injured and missed a lot of time. So you didn't really get to see what they were at full strength up until the playoffs. Ironically, the Rockets are the lowest seed to have ever won an NBA championship. They did it from the six, which is something that the Golden State Warriors now in 2025 might have to do. But for teams that were struggling, again, teams that were, like, their seasons were going nowhere. The Rockets were playing 2 out of 3 basketball. You know, the Pistons were playing really good basketball. You fast forward to 2004, Rasheed Wallace comes over to the Pistons from the Portland Trailblazers. You know, that was a Pistons team that had action that year and that turned out to be just one piece away. They went 12-3 in the first 15 games of Rasheed Wallace's tenure in Detroit, games that he was active for. They obviously go on to beat the Los Angeles Lakers and win the championship. The other trade to me that I can think of, because while PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford, excuse me, for the Dallas Mavericks last year, like those two guys helped get them to a place where they could make a run to the finals. Quietly, someone like Derek White moving from San Antonio to Boston in 2022, he ended up being a massive boost to a team that was around 500 come New Year and around the deadline was not looking great, but was a better team. He helped take them into a different direction and helped them make a run at the finals where obviously they lost to the Warriors. But those aren't star players. You know, even one that flew under the radar that I forgot about was in 2014-15, the year the Warriors won their first championship. J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert got traded from, I think it was New York, to Cleveland. And that team, once they got LeBron back, I believe won 10 or 11 in a row, with those two guys. But again, that's multiple players. Those are role players. Those aren't superstar caliber talents the way that Jimmy Butler is. The only one that I can even remotely think of that comes close to that would be when the Lakers traded for Pau Gasol in 2008 from the Memphis Grizzlies. Or, yeah, I think they were in Memphis at the time. If not, they're in Vancouver. But the Grizzlies franchise. The Lakers won 13 of their first 14 games that season after the deadline with Pau Gasol in 2008. And he helped them get to the finals, where eventually they lost in six games to the Boston Celtics. That was the first year of KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen. That's the only trade that I can think of. And that's why, as I'm going back, again, through my lifetime, the instant return on investment, which, by the way, I also think there's parallels between Butler and Gasol, because both teams did not have to give up that much. I believe the Lakers returned his younger brother, Marc Gasol, which ended up being the biggest piece of that trade. For Jimmy Butler, it was Andrew Wiggins, who is a champion. And for the last five seasons, I think has really made an imprint on Warriors culture, their franchise. It was a massive piece, a second best player in a title team. And a top 10 protected pick. That's it. You know, Kyle Anderson, Dennis Schroeder, obviously were involved in the deal. But it was essentially a Wiggins for Butler trade, straight up, with one first-round pick that the Warriors are not looking like they're going to get because they've been so damn good moving out of the top 10, and their season looks like it's headed to the playoffs. In terms of instant return, I cannot think of a better mid-season trade in the NBA since Pau Gasol was traded in 2008 from the Grizzlies to the Lakers. Like, that's the kind of immediate impact that Jimmy Butler has had on Golden State. Again, they have won, with him in the lineup, 13 of 14 games. The one game that he did not play against Philadelphia, they lost. They have won 11 in a row since he's been on the floor. That's even one better than the Pau Gasol deal, because the immediate returns on that trade was 13 and 14 in his first 14 games. So it's been right at that point. Like, Jimmy Butler has had as much impact on the Warriors, if not more, I would argue, because that Lakers team was also in a better position at the point in which they traded for Gasol. That was a team that had legitimate title aspirations and needed one piece to get over the top. That was not a team that I think, like the Warriors, may have missed the playoffs entirely. Jimmy Butler has completely resuscitated the Golden State Warriors. And that's why, and again, if people want to call in and get in on the conversation, 888-957-9570 is the number. Again, we got Steph Curry in that replay coming up at 10:30. Sam Gordon of the San Francisco Chronicle is going to join us at 11 o'clock. I got a whole host of things I want to get to here today. But where I want to start is, has there been a more impactful midseason trade in recent memory than Jimmy Butler III? I would argue there hasn't. And I don't think there's been one since 2008 when the Lakers acquired Pau Gasol. That's how big, how great this deal at the deadline has been for Golden State. And again, I don't know if it was by luck because they wanted Kevin Durant and that deal obviously fell through. I don't know if it's because of design, because they had to wait to ship Schroeder's contract because there was a wrinkle in the deal that he could not be traded until 24 hours before the deadline. I don't know if it was something that they had planned, again, all along, that Jimmy Butler was the target from the summer until now, and they were just waiting for that price to come down to a point where they were comfortable. I don't know if Steph Curry or Steve Kerr believed that Jimmy Butler was going to have this kind of immediate impact, especially with the way that things ended in Miami. He was a wild card. I certainly didn't see this coming. And it's been nothing but aces that have come up for Golden State since Jimmy Butler got here. And so, again, Pau Gasol delivered 13 wins of 14 the first time that he was traded to Los Angeles. Jimmy Butler has helped deliver 13 wins in his first 14 games that he has played in Golden State. And I certainly hope that Golden State's season can end somewhere close to where the Lakers did, because that Los Angeles team ended up getting to the finals, though they ended up losing. And to me, if the Warriors somehow in the future, and this is way down the line, if that team gets to the NBA Finals, I think it's going to be hard, very difficult for us not to look at this as one of the best mid-season deals in NBA history, and especially since the turn of the millennium. Again, Gasol is the most recent one that I can think of. Obviously, Rasheed Wallace was the missing piece for a title team in 2004 for the Pistons. People have brought up Clyde Drexler in 1995, Mark Aguirre for Adrian Dantley in 1989. These are the kinds of names and seasons that so far, to me, that it's fair to put Butler in, because that's the kind of winning, the impact on winning that he has had thus far, I believe. And I just feel like, and again, as we're rolling along here today, you know, the things that Jimmy has done so far, to me, is it's a little bit unquantifiable. Like, watching him on the floor, you can see this team, they've gone from the worst free throw shooting team to one of the best free throw shooting teams. They're a team that has certainly dropped their turnovers overall since he's gotten here. But the last three games, I do want to remind people, they have been very sloppy with the ball, and could be something that will come back to bite them over these next three games if they don't clean it up. Because the Knicks are a good team, even without Brunson. And obviously Denver on Monday and Milwaukee on Tuesday, back-to-back games, are good teams that are looming. And the Warriors have to continue to take care of the basketball. But what he does to me, Butler, is it's just so obvious as a stabilizing force. You know, Jimmy Butler is someone that quite clearly does not care about stats. He took five shots in the win against Sacramento. And I love the way that he's almost able to kind of map out a game. The tempo which he plays fluctuates, but he's the one that knows when and which button to press. And I think you saw that between, again, the weekend, last weekend, before the last time we talked, that Saturday victory against Detroit at home, the first game off that five-game roadie, which they went 4-1. To me, that was an excellent example of Jimmy having the understanding of when and where to press the button. That game was a physical dogfight. The Pistons are a team that fouls more than anybody in the NBA. And the Warriors' physicality, their toughness, was absolutely tested. And Jimmy Butler III, though Draymond's a dog, and you know, you're looking at Kevon Looney has been in certainly a lot of foxholes. I think Gary Payton II is a tough player, and he's battle-tested as a champion. Jimmy Butler is the toughest player on that team. Jimmy Butler III is the most physical player, I believe, on that team. And it has got one more who I believe has the ability to play tough, to play physical, and that's Jonathan Kuminga. But due to his inexperience, only being in his young 20s, and Jimmy Butler's experience as a vet, particularly in the postseason, to me, he embodies that. He gives them a level of tough.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
That was not previously there. And that was on full display against Detroit, especially in the third quarter when he goes for 15 points, just bullies his way to the free throw line. But then, a couple of games later, and even against Portland to some extent, he didn't have to do that. You know, Butler, it almost like he surveys the game, he surveys the landscape. I don't know if he's reading scouting reports, what he's doing leading up until this, during shoot around, during his warm-up, whatever he does to get himself right, for example, today against the Knicks. But he has an understanding of what he needs to do to help this team win. And if that shoot the ball five times and score 7 points, then he's going to do that. Because he don't give a damn about stats. That's the only reason why I thought it was really interesting that on Monday against Portland, remember what, like when Steve Kerr told him to take the last second shot, and he hit it at the buzzer, Jimmy Butler was looking at the bench because he was fully ready and willing to take that turnover because Jimmy does not care about stats. The only thing that Jimmy Butler III appears to care about, and it's one of the reasons why I think he so quickly ingratiated himself with not just the Warriors and the team, but I think also the fan base, is because he only cares about winning. He only cares about winning. And I think it's been that way across his career. You know, Jimmy Butler III is a player that I think is a great symbol for winning players or players that are defined as winners without championships. You know, and I think that because titles mean everything, especially nowadays, and if you don't have a ring, you know, you're a loser. If you choke in the playoffs, it ends up defining you. Well, not even if you choke in the playoffs, but just if you lose in the postseason, it feels like it ends up defining who you are as a player, even though context in a lot of these cases absolutely matters. Jimmy Butler III is a winner. Everyone has called him that on the Warriors, and I believe it's true. Just because he doesn't have a ring doesn't mean he's not a winner. And you've seen that. Again, the first 14 games that he has been available for, they have won 13 of them. And the one loss they had to Dallas, it took a 42-piece from Kyrie Irving, RIP to his season, unfortunately. I hope he gets back soon. And then it came down to the wire. And Butler was, remember, a charge into a block and an and-one away from maybe winning that basketball game. That's how close the Warriors have been to a perfect start since Jimmy Butler has gotten to Golden State. And I understand that their level of competition has not been necessarily high. That's why I think these three games are going to tell us. And by the end of Tuesday night, to me, I will have an answer for you. The next time we talk on Warriors This Week, every single Saturday from 9 to noon, Evan Giddings in today, rolling solo today. Dan Devone's going to be back next week, but I still got Stephen Rizzotto with me here in the 95.7 The Game studios. By next week, by the time that Dan Devone returns to this program here, I will have an answer for you on whether I consider the Golden State Warriors contenders, legitimate championship contenders. That's a title that I have reserved, and it's been because of the level of teams that they've played and beaten. To me, I think their best win, ironically, has come against the team they play tonight, and that's the New York Knicks. I know that Karl-Anthony Towns did not play in that game at the Garden during their last road trip. Jalen Brunson was available, who's not tonight. So you're basically swapping them for each other. But they were down, I think, by 8 at half. I thought it was a gutsy win. And the Warriors are also now getting a little bit healthier because they're going to have Jonathan Kuminga, who's come back. And I do want to spend a lot of time talking about him and where I think he fits as far as a puzzle piece to what I believe can be an even better version of Golden State. So I want to save that for a little bit. But to me, that win at New York has been the best so far of the Jimmy Butler era. And to be fair, if you're, you know, a little bit of a pragmatic person, you could poke a hole in it if you want. Tonight, if they win, you could poke a hole in it if you want. Brandon Pajemski is unavailable for tonight. That's something we do know. But Kuminga is going to be active. I think my guess is that he would play more than 20 minutes, which is what he got against Sacramento. But you never can tell, especially with the 31-game absence that he suffered due to a high ankle sprain all the way back on January 4th. But the Warriors, I think, displayed a level of toughness that also was required for them to beat Detroit. That's another game you could say has been their best. And neither of those two teams I would consider contenders, legitimate championship threats. You know, in my mind right now, if we're looking at the landscape of the National Basketball Association, it is three squads that to me are the favorites. It is Cleveland, it is Boston, and it is OKC. And I know that the Thunder are a team that a lot of people don't like to win it all just because of their lack of experience, or maybe they're working their way towards whatever they become in the near future, which I think is going to be scary. But to me, what they've done so far, their resume speaks for itself. The next level of teams, the teams that are trying to move into what I believe is, again, a contender status, the Warriors are in there. The Warriors are absolutely a part of the next cut. To me, in the West, it's Denver, it's Los Angeles, even though they've lost four in a row. I think at full strength, if they get healthy, that's a very dangerous team that could make a run. The Warriors are in there, and depending on how they continue to play, I think I would have to consider Minnesota also a team in the next level of cuts. To me, Memphis, doesn't quite have it. There's just something about that team that scares me a little bit come postseason time. And it's not just because they've lost to the Warriors, but they just seem a little, I don't know if the word is, you know, juvenile. I don't know if the word is not buttoned up. It's not one word, but they don't feel buttoned up to me, the Memphis Grizzlies. The Houston Rockets, I think, are still a year away. And maybe from being a year away. I think they're a superstar away. You know, and that's why if I'm looking at the Warriors, too, against the West, you know, their top-tier talent, it matches up. Steph, Jimmy, and if you want to put Draymond or Kuminga in there, we can throw them in there. But to me, when in the playoffs, it comes down to your dudes. And the Warriors legitimately have two of them. That's a tandem I'm putting up against Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. I think Jokic is the best player on the planet and is going to be the best player in any series. But combined, Steph and Jimmy against Jokic and Jamal, I'll take my chances. Against LeBron and Luka, again, those are two massively star-talented players. And Luka just came off of basically dragging a Mavericks team, not dragging, but propelling a Dallas team to the NBA Finals. But that's a tandem I'm willing to send Steph and Jimmy and go toe-to-toe with. Minnesota. Minnesota doesn't have that second, that co-star for Anthony Edwards. But to me, the sum of their parts is where they become scary. Especially because I also think that they have an ability to defend at a really high level. I mean, that to me is what made them scary last year. And also the fact that, you know, to me, I think that the biggest threat right now to Golden State would be Denver. And they haven't beaten them since the 2022 playoffs when they knocked them out in the first round. They're literally 0 for the last 7 against the Denver Nuggets. So that's the team that scares me the most in regards to Golden State. But Minnesota's a team that has had Denver's number. You know, that's their kryptonite. I don't know who the Warriors' kryptonite is. If I had to bet, I would say it's the Nuggets. But Minnesota's a team that has shown that they can not only beat them in a postseason series, win a Game 7 down by 20, but also this season they've had success against them. So I have to consider Minnesota a team that is scary enough in the second cut. To me in the West, OKC, who, by the way, already locked up a postseason spot, and they're on pace for like 66 wins. To me, they're the favorites, and then from there, Golden State is in the next category. But I believe that over these next three games, we're going to find. People out there, and again, 888-957-9570 is the number. If people believe that the Warriors can beat OKC in a 7-game series, I understand. But to me, I'm not willing to put them in the contending category yet, just because I haven't seen them do it against the best. And to me, really, that Denver game is where I'm going to measure just how far I think the Warriors can go. I think they're a team that has action. It would not surprise me whatsoever if this team is able to make a deep postseason run. And the fact that Jimmy Butler has completely flip-flopped not only the season, but the play of just about every single player on this team, including the one that just got back, Jonathan Kuminga, who I thought looked awesome in their first game against Sacramento. He's someone that makes me feel like, if in fast forward 2 months from now, right, March 15th, let's fast forward to June 15th, if the Warriors are in the midst of the NBA Finals or trying to wrap up a fifth championship for Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, I could see it. And it's because of the kind of confidence and energy that they seem to be playing with relatively consistently every single night. And again, that's why, as we kind of wrap up our first segment on Warriors this week, and again, 888-957-9570 is the number. I got some text messages I want to get to as well. Jimmy Butler is the most impactful trade I've seen in my lifetime since 2008 when the Lakers got Pau Gasol. That's the kind of impact that he's immediately had. And yeah, the 925 is bringing up Rasheed Wallace. That's something that I definitely threw in the bin, but that was a little bit earlier in 2004. The 650, Jimmy Butler's impact is quantifiable. Free throws, free throw percentages. Yeah, I mean, all right, that one, I'm not going to lie. I don't believe that the Warriors were a bad team at shooting free throws. I believe they had bad free throw shooting players. Like, Jimmy Butler is taking a lot of free throws now. Does that mean that all of a sudden the Warriors are a great free throw shooting team? No, I think they just have a couple of really good free throw shooters, and that's going to take a lot of them. Yeah, I wonder if Kuminga, is going to be someone that gets back into the 70s. And, or because if he shoots close to 60% like he did at the beginning of the season, are we going to label the Warriors a bad free throw shooting team again? No, to me, that's just one player. Steph's minutes. Yeah, I think Steph Curry, how he's played is probably the biggest impact that Jimmy Butler's had on this team. And also, Steph, you know, there's a parallel between them and a conversation that's happening around the NBA that I want to dig into on the other side. This idea of value, most valuable. I got some thoughts on it as we move forward here on Warriors This Week. Evan Giddings flying solo alongside my guy Steven Rizzotto here on 95.7 The Game. We're taking your calls, taking your texts, checking on the YouTube chat powered by First Door Cal Credit Union during the break as well. Hop in there. You can find us all here at 95.7 The Game. And we'll be back after this on Warriors This Week.
They're resetting the sound system. That may have something to do with the fire alarm. We don't have public address announcements, no music. Butler goes back door, down the lane, one-hander, banked it in. He got fouled as well. Again, putting on the brakes.
Wow, now that you say it, it's actually kind of nice.
Yeah, it is.
It's just basketball.
It's just basketball, baby.
Wow.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings with you here, flying solo dolo on a Saturday morning. Good morning to everyone out there on the roadways. If you're watching at home, if you're checking us out on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First Shore Cal Credit Union, Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe will be back next week. I got Steven Rizzotto, a.k.a. Producer Pasta, with me, flying as a co-star. Kind of like Jimmy Butler, Steven. And I want to ask you, before we get to the calls at 888-957-9570, you know, we are going to dig into a little bit more with Steph Curry. We're going to replay his interview with Steiny and Gruber coming up at 10:30. Steven's actually got a game for us to play later on in the show that I'm very much looking forward to. Sam Gordon of the San Francisco Chronicle is going to join us at 11 o'clock, and he's on the beat, has actually spent, from what I've heard, probably the most time of just about anyone with Jimmy Butler since he's gotten to Golden State. Had a 30-minute sit-down with him for an article that was very good, and you can check that out at the San Francisco Chronicle. But Pasta, before we get to the calls, and I see you out there, 888-957-9570, what has been your favorite part about the Warriors since Jimmy Butler got here?
My answer is going to coexist with your philosophy or your thought that this is the best midseason trade, maybe in NBA history. I am thinking back to the time in the weeks before this trade, and I'm thinking about the reaction that Warriors fans had on these very airwaves about how Jimmy Butler was too old, and they were going to add just yet another old player in his mid-30s to an already aging core. We talked about that. We talked about the drama in Miami, and we played all this sound about how Jimmy Butler said he had no joy playing in Miami. We talked about that. We talked about his contract. And there's all these cons to adding Jimmy Butler. And when the move was made, I don't know how many people were excited about it. I think a lot of people were more excited that they actually did something. And just the way that this has completely changed the narrative. And, you know, there's a caller, Jan in Mountain View, who might be listening. Jan was not for this trade. And then she called in yesterday and she was talking about how excited she was about Jimmy Butler on the Warriors. And I think a lot of fans have the same reaction. And just watching him, you know, be on the court, it just opens everything up for the rest of the offense. It puts guys in their place. Steph Curry, I remember there was a game at Golden 1 in Sacramento where he was doing everything or trying to do everything, and they had three guys on him, and he was trying to get off a shot, you know, and nobody else was open, and just the ball movement that Steve Kerr had 10 years ago, even 2022, it's back. You know, he hasn't had the Jimmy Butler game yet, the big one, but there's enough postseason resume performances from him on his resume, I should say, that signify he's going to play a major role in the postseason. And we don't need to have that one big Jimmy game because he's already doing a lot to open up opportunities for other guys. So that's my favorite part of watching the Warriors right now, just watching these guys just kind of get settled into the roles they're supposed to be in.
The on-court vibes are what you're talking
about.
The
on-court vibes, for sure. And also the idea that he changed people's mind, Evan. Like, the way he came in here, and if this isn't the greatest NBA midseason trade ever, it's the greatest one that has had misconceptions about it. Because everybody, I think, thought that Jimmy Butler was... Maybe not everybody. That's a stretch.
People, I think a lot of people did.
A lot of people thought Jimmy Butler was going to come over here. There was going to be a honeymoon period where it was great. Then he was going to cause some trouble. And, well, there was a report that he's spending a lot of time with Draymond and Steph, and he's fitting in very well, and people are looking up to him. Kuminga just called him smart the other night, someone to look up to.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of something that just has changed the minds of so many people and has changed the vibes of the team completely.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's definitely changed a lot of people's minds. What I would say is that I actually do think we're still in the honeymoon period. It's been a longer honeymoon period than I anticipated. It's been quick. It's been high. It has been awesome to watch. But I do think that we're not going to find out whether or not Jimmy Butler is, I don't know, for lack of a better term, trouble until next season, because I think he is completely locked in. He's also locked in for $111 million, which is another key part to this, too. When he feels like that he is valued and he is taken care of financially, you get the best version of Jimmy Butler, and I cannot wait, because to your point, Pasta, about playoff Jimmy, or we haven't seen the big Jimmy game yet, I don't know if we're going to see it until the postseason, and he's someone that reserves his best for the biggest stage. I don't know, maybe it could be Monday against Denver, could be Tuesday against Milwaukee. You know, I think that he's someone that understands when he is needed to get points, when he's needed to get buckets, when he's needed to transform into Jimmy Buckets. And so far, I think it's really just been one condensed period. And again, that was the third quarter against the Detroit Pistons. But what's been your favorite part so far of the Jimmy Butler era? 888-957-9570. To Steven's point also, I mentioned in the first segment that I think that this is, it has the potential to be one of the greatest midseason trades, certainly in my lifetime. You know, I can't speak before I had a chance to start watching basketball, the 90s and before. I'm not that old, but again, in my lifetime, Pau Gasol in 08, Rasheed Wallace in 2004, to lack of a, you know, for lack of better star power, you know, you're looking at J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert in 2015, and Derek White with the Celtics in 2022, even P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford last year with the Mavericks. Those are all deals that brought immediate returns, but in terms of a singular star, I think it's Butler, I think it's Gasol, I think it's Wallace, and it's a very short list. But again, those two trades resulted in title, either appearances or title wins for the Pistons in 2004, and then a runner-up in the finals for the Lakers in 2008. So in many ways, the result of this Warriors season is going to dictate where Butler and this midseason trade ranks in recent memory. All right, let's get out to a Burlingame. Talk to my guy. Talk to my guy, Dylan. Dylan, what's up, man? Good morning.
Good morning, Ab. We got a tight race in fantasy this week.
Yes, we do. All right, Dylan, Dylan, if you can for a moment. Dylan and I play in the same fantasy basketball league. Dylan, if I can, Wembanyama is undefeated. He is not lost in our fantasy basketball season thus far. Right now, I believe we're tied, Dill. And so may the best man win.
May the best man win. Yeah, that's right. Got faced with some injuries. But I wanted to call in and echo what you've been saying, because I think resuscitation is such a good definition for what Jimmy has brought to the team. And I think it's on two levels, right? Resuscitation for the Warriors players, where he just raises the IQ and their athleticism for everyone on the court, where, like you said, you know, the Kings game the other night, he had 6 points, but everyone with over 10 minutes was in the double digits of points. So I think there's that front, and it's almost like he's raising the Warriors fandom, where I think that there's like 10% of Warriors fans who would have watched the Warriors, whether they're in last place or if they're on the verge of like being three games out of third place. But you know, now you have like 50% of Warriors fans that are on the fringe that are getting excited about a potential strong playoff run.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think, I don't know about you, Dylan, it feels like to me a lot of, and I know that they're only half game up on Minnesota, who they have the tiebreaker on, but it feels like if the Warriors don't get the sixth seed, in a way, a lot of people might be disappointed. Like, that's kind of the floor, it feels like, with the way that they've been playing.
100%. Yeah, and I think we're playing for something now. We're not playing to get in the playoffs and, is it the first round, maybe the second round? Now it's like we can make a deep run.
Oh, 100%. Thanks for the call, Dylan. And well, I would say good luck the rest of this weekend, but I do want to beat him. Again, he has not lost in our fantasy basketball league. This guy's been the red hourback of our league for the first couple seasons. Thank you. No breaking news. No breaking news. Although there is something that around the association, there is something that's caught my eye that I don't know if I want to get into it now, but it is about the Utah Jazz, and I think it's hilarious. But yeah, I mean, you're right, Dylan. Like, it's almost to the point now where if the Warriors get to the playoffs, and let's say, God forbid, they got bounced in the first round, that feels like that would be a disappointment. I don't know, Steven, would you agree that that would feel like a disappointment? Because even if, like, I think Denver would be a really tough matchup, which right now, if we're looking at the standings, is who the Warriors would play in the first round. Yeah, I would love to avoid Denver. I would love to, if they're at full strength, avoid the Lakers, though I think they could perhaps beat them. Like, those two teams, to me, are the matchups in terms of size that in the first round, I think, could make things really hard on Golden State. But if the Warriors lost to one of those teams, would that be disappointing?
Massive disappointment.
Damn! Yeah.
Massive disappointment. I think fans are just way past the idea of, you know, and this is kind of a precursor to one of the things I'm going to bring up in a future segment.
Oh, boy.
That you teased. But I think they have to go past the first round to make this a little bit more of a successful season to me. Is past the first round and a little deeper into the playoffs. I don't think I would be okay with a first-round exit.
I got you. 888-957-9570 is the number. You know, is that kind of where you're at with the Warriors right now? Again, I think this next three-game stretch is going to be revealing about, I don't know if it's how far they can go, but look, what level of basketball they can summon. Again, they get the New York Knicks tonight. ABC, nationally televised game. Tim Roy's going to have the call for you at 5:30 on 95.7 The Game, as he does alongside Tom Tolbert for every single game. They got Denver and Milwaukee, but this is a team that has won 11 games in a row with Jimmy Butler. And you know, our last caller, Dylan, brought this up. Pasta's kind of been talking about it. And so I want to explore this idea of just how valuable Jimmy Butler is. And there's a race going on right now for league MVP, right? It's pretty much a two-man race. I think most people would agree with that. It is Nikola Jokic, and it is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And the argument is best player, literal best player, which I think we all identify Nikola Jokic as. He's averaging a triple-double. His team is still pretty damn competitive. And I believe he has the highest win shares per 48. Which, if you go track MVPs, by the way, I don't want to get too much into analytical talk, but if you go look at the list of MVPs dating back for quite some time since this statistic became a thing, win shares per 48 tracks as the majority of MVPs. If they are number one in that category, they win. Nikola Jokic is number one this season and is plus minus off the charts, on-off splits off the charts. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is having an unbelievable season. He's the league leader in terms of points, I think around 32 per game. He has one of the longest 20-point consecutive streaks going, not just this season, but I want to say he's got, like, he's moving towards the Kevin Durant kind of range, where it feels like that, I don't know, if he can keep this thing rolling into next season, like, he's got a shot to break whatever that all-time record is, because that's how impactful, lethal of a scorer that he is. To the 6-5-0's point. The playoffs started today. The Warriors faced the Rockets. They do not, actually. The Rockets are fifth. The Rockets are in fifth place. They're three games up on Golden State, and they do not have the tiebreaker with the Lakers. So as the Western Conference standings falls right now on Saturday, March 15th, OKC is in first. That, to me, is where Shai comes into play in his MVP case. Memphis is in second via the tiebreaker with Denver, who is in third. Both of those teams are four games up on Golden State. The Lakers are fourth. The Rockets are fifth. The Warriors are sixth. And Minnesota right now is seventh. The Clippers are eighth. And the Warriors are half game up on Minnesota and two games up clear on the Clippers. But back to the MVP case, because I think it applies to Golden State in this sense. Jokic is the best player on the planet. I think that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the league MVP. And it's because I generally, it's just philosophically what I believe. If you're the best player on the best team, and not only just the best team, like, they are going to, by far and away, be the best team in the West. Like, Cleveland is 55-10. They got one more victory than the Thunder do, and their winning percentage is slightly better. But they're a bit more staggered. They're a bit more balanced in terms of their hierarchy. Like, Donovan Mitchell is the best player on that team, but the gap between him and their second-best player, who I think is Evan Mobley, is not nearly as drastic as the gap between Shea and whoever the second-best player on that team is. Also, Cleveland hasn't had to deal with the injuries that SGA has had to deal with. Chet Holmgren has only played, I think, 22 games this season. Jalen Williams has missed time. Isaiah Hartenstein has missed time. I just think that SGA has done a little bit more with his surrounding cast. Point being, he's the best player on the best team. Jokic is the best player in the world. Now to the Warriors. I think that Steph is the best player on the Warriors. But with the impact, the immediate impact that Jimmy Butler has had, again, they've won 11 straight games when he's been on the floor. They're 13-1 in the 14 games he's played since they've gotten here. I could make the case he's the MVP of the Warriors. I mean, that's the kind of turnaround, the kind of resuscitation that he has brought and impacted the Warriors with. He has literally defibrillated this season. They were dead. I don't believe that they were headed for the playoffs. Or if they were, it was as a 10 seed and more of a play-in team, and I think they probably would have gotten bounced. And the impact that he's allowed everyone else to feel, not just the Currys, not just the Draymonds, who, oh, by the way, had 23 points against Sacramento, the first time that he's led the Warriors in points since the 2016 Game 7, in which the Warriors unfortunately lost, but Draymond was awesome in that game. He's allowed Draymond to become more offensively minded. He has had an impact on every single player on that team. Whether it is quantifiable or not, I think that Jimmy Butler has a real case as this team's most valuable player. That doesn't mean that he's the best player. Again, Jokic is a better player than Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. But Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is my league MVP. Steph Curry is the best player on the Golden State Warriors, I think. Jimmy Butler is the most valuable player. And it's because he has instantly stepped onto this roster and made this team a legitimate threat. And it's because of the impact that he's had on every single person, man 1 through 15, on this team. 888-957-9570 is the number. If you want to call in and tell me I'm crazy, feel free. I got time today. I'm rolling solo. I got Steven Rizzotto here with us.
And the simple like, I guess, reasoning to your argument is that if you take Jimmy Butler off the Warriors, where are the Warriors?
Well, they lost to the Sixers, Pasta.
Right.
They lost to the Sixers, who I believe had lost 9 in a row under an absolute dumpster fire.
Exactly. And if you take, you know,
Quentin Grimes.
I think that if you're an MVP candidate, you have to come from a contender. It doesn't matter if you're the best team or I think you just have to be in the dance somewhere, a contender. Unless you're just absolutely going off for a pretty bad team. I think that's less frequent in basketball, maybe more so frequent in some of the other sports. You know, I'm thinking baseball where Shohei Ohtani won it with the Angels. But in this case, if you take Jimmy Butler off the Golden State Warriors, where are they at? You know, probably still trying to stay above water, maybe below the water, underwater. I don't know where they're at. They're just not where they are now. So that's all I know. So I would agree with you.
All right. Well, that's one. Let's see if we can make it two. And I knew we do have a couple people calling in, Pasto, so I want to get you racked up. I want to get you on hold. I want to get you in the conversation. Evan Giddings flying solo here on Warriors this week. Dan DeVone's going to be back next week. As always, we're here from 9 to noon discussing the Golden State Warriors. And to me, it's, you know, again, I don't want to make this about who's better and, you know, Steph is this. I'm not trying to pit them against each other. Again, it's just from what I've seen. And what I've seen is that Jimmy Butler impacts every single person on this roster. And Steph does, too. And if you take him off the team, you know, they're obviously not as good. But I've seen what this team was without Jimmy Butler. They're a 500 basketball team, and that's with Steph Curry. I mean, that's to me the only reason why, like, what Steph has done in the last 15 games, and his numbers have been awesome, despite having a couple of lowly shooting performances against Portland and Sac. Steph is now, to me, in the conversation for all NBA again. You know, I wouldn't put him in the MVP race. I don't think he's been their most valuable player. That is a title that, to me, belongs to Jimmy Butler. Again, that doesn't mean that Jimmy is the best player. Listen to what I'm saying. All right. Coach is in Vallejo. Coach, what's going on? Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Evan. Nice to see you. I'm watching you on YouTube. You're looking good.
My man.
The biggest impact to me that Jimmy Butler brings to the team, I mean, is stability. Cutting down the turnovers. I mean, with the ball in his hands, you feel comfortable. You feel the ball's going to be secure. He made one turnover the other night, and I gasped, man. I'm like, Jimmy Butler? But the guy is so secure, we don't have to cut down Draymond. And Steph throwing those wild passes all over the place. They're the two biggest culprits, is Draymond and Steph. It's not the young guys that are throwing the bad passes and taking the chances. It's Draymond and Steph. But with Jimmy Butler at the hub, I mean, sure, everyone else is playing well around him because the ball is secure. Now, what he does with guys like Kuminga and everything, he recognizes their talents. He's going to make sure that Kuminga is in the position where he can do his thing one-on-one with anyone with the lane wide open. He knows Moses Moody is a great spot-up shooter. He's going to suck in the defense, pitch it out to Moses Moody. I mean, so this is what Jimmy Butler does, where Draymond take the risky passes and the home run. Jimmy Butler is solid. He's going for the base hit, the line drive up the middle, okay? So that's what I think is the biggest change with the Warriors. Their turnovers has cut way down, and it's really because the ball is mainly in Jimmy Butler's hands.
I'm with you, Coach. Yeah, I think, and actually that's quietly something that I've been monitoring. Like, Jimmy Butler is, he doesn't give the ball up much. But I do think that the Warriors have played a little more loose over the last three games. Like, for example, again, they're 13-2 over 15 games, and I appreciate the call, Coach. Feel free to call back anytime. We love you. After averaging 11.9 turnovers in February, so far in the month of March, they've turned the ball over almost 15.5 times per game. That's a pretty significant jump. And I'm with you, Coach, that to me, overall, Butler's security has made... Well, I mean, just mathematically, if you get more possessions, you get more opportunities to score. And Butler, in addition to not only taking care of the basketball, has, I think, helped, along with Steph, maximized more offensive possessions, more points per possession, whether it's in pick and roll, whether it's with Steph on the floor, whether it's with Steph off the floor. They've just been a more efficient offense. But they are reverting back a little bit, as of late, to a bit of a careless basketball team. That also applies to Jimmy Butler. I think that in the game against Sacramento, and I want to get this correct, Butler had two turnovers. You look back at his last few games against Detroit, he had four turnovers. That's very un-Jimmy Butler-like. You know, this is a guy that averages about 1.3 turnovers per game. So anything above one, anything above zero, it seems strange that Butler would be, a quote-unquote careless with the basketball by his standards. But the Warriors as a whole have gone from 12 to essentially 15.5 from February to March. They've committed, over the last four games, 17.5 turnovers per game. That's a lot. Especially when you consider, pardon me, the amount of points that they're giving up to opponents off of that. Over the last four games, they have given up 86 points off of turnovers. Now again, you've played Brooklyn. Detroit's a good opponent. They're a sixth seed, I believe, in the East. They're a playoff team. But Portland and Sacramento... Portland's a feisty squad. That, by the way, was actually one I was spot on about the 11.5, thanks to a late Anthony Simons three. And then Sacramento is not, in my opinion, a very good basketball team. You haven't been able to take care of the basketball against those squads. And so those 86 points have not hurt you. But tonight against New York, you give up 20 points off turnovers, which is what they did to Sacramento. That might be the difference in a game. You give up 20 points off turnovers to the Denver Nuggets. That very easily could be the difference in that game. Same for Milwaukee. So while Jimmy Butler, I agree, Coach, has done an awesome job of emphasizing ball security as a whole over 15 games, as of late, they have been a bit more careless. And it's not just him. It's been Draymond. It's been Curry. It's been, you know, even to some extent, the other role players on this team. But to me, the area that is going to determine how far they go is ball security, the amount of possessions that they can get. All right. Got into the MVP talk. If you want to call in, tell me I'm crazy. Feel free. Let's have a conversation about it. I know I've been a bit off my rocker this morning. I'm all coffeeed up. I got 6 cups of coffee in me. Haven't had a calorie in my system. My fast is, I'm burning through it right now. 888-957-9570 is the number. I also see you on the text line. I see you on the YouTube chat. Chime in. Let us know what you think. At 10:30, we're going to replay Steining Guru's interview with the chef himself, Steph Curry. I have a lot of thoughts that I want to get to on that. At 11 o'clock, we're going to talk to Sam Gordon of the San Francisco Chronicle. He's a beat writer for the Warriors, has spent just about every second of this season with that team, knows them inside and out. A good friend of mine, going to talk to him again at 11. Steven Rizzotto's got a game for us to play at 11:30 that I do not know about, which I'm looking forward to. And we can have a little bit of fun with you, the listeners, as well. All on the other side when we return on 95.7 The Game on Warriors This Week.